Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dan Sleven, who joins us now for Shortcuts. Kia ora to you, Dan.
G'day, Emil. And can I just point out that that version of Harry Nilsson's One wasn't actually recorded specifically for the film Magnolia that made it famous. It was actually recorded for a 1995 tribute album to Harry Nilsson called Everybody Sings Nilsson. And so its relationship to the film Magnolia is kind of accidental in some ways.
I love that.
This track was probably ended up being more popular than the film. This CD was in everybody's collection in the late 90s.
Almost entirely useless information, and yet I love that and will probably remember it for a long time. Thank you for that, Dan. You have been to watch a Kiwi family film. That sounds fun.
Yeah, this is a film called The Mountain, and it's produced by a company called Picky Films, and that's the company that's started by Taika Waititi and Kathy Neal. And the first film that they made was The Hunt for the Wilder People. So this is sort of in a similar vibe to Wilder People. It, I think, will probably have less appeal to older viewers and more to younger viewers than that film. I mean, that film crossed all trajectories, mm-hmm. really. And it's a sweet and particularly Māori story, I think, that it kind of feels a little bit like it could be a kind of introduction to tikanga for young people. And it's about a young girl who's about 11 years old, I think, who's suffering from cancer and is very worried about how that is going, and thinks that a visit to her mountain, Taranaki Maunga, will provide her with the strength that she needs to get through these trials. And she's joined on the journey by two other young people, two kind of misfits. One is the new kid in town, and he's kind of lonely and he thinks he's found some friends. And the other is a young Māori called Bronco, who's running away from his dad, who he thinks is ignoring him. So he's sort of a little cry for help. And they're sort of finding the back way up Taranaki while their families are trying to find them and bring them home.
And directed by Rachel House, who will be familiar to many New Zealanders. She's got a pretty glittering CV as an actor. But this is her first film as director. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, this is her debut. And one of the things that, if unless you're like me and you watch all of the credits of all of the films that you watch to the very end, you may not realize this. But even when Rachel House hasn't been performing in a film, or she might have a small role, she had a very small role in Taika Waititi's Boy, you might recall. But one of the things that she does a lot for New Zealand films is coaching, yeah. acting coaching for young people. And so she's got a lot of experience working with actors who are younger, maybe their first film. And you can see why she is a really good connection for this, because it relies so heavily on those three performances: Elizabeth Atkinson, Ruben Francis, and we've got Terrence Daniel as Bronco. And I think a film like this really does rely so heavily on the success of those performances, and if you warm to them, to those young actors, then you'll warm to the story. And I think this is a good one to take young people to, because there'll be stuff to to talk about afterwards, not just the tikanga aspect to it, but it packs quite a punch at the end, which I think young people might need a bit of a helping hand through.
I mean, it was interesting hearing you sort of describe the premise of it, and I did think halfway through, you know, this does sound pretty, you know, standard family movie. But then I sort of caught myself thinking, well, you know, maybe family movies do tend to be a bit formulaic by nature, but there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, is there?
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because don't forget, if you're aiming at sort of 8 to 12-year-olds as an audience, chances are they haven't seen all the films that you've seen.
This don't is going to be brand new. Yeah.
So that's right. It's entirely legitimate that you give them something that's for them. Let's hear a little bit of the trailer. It's a little bit sort of bitsy, as trailers tend to be, so I'm not sure how much of the story you'll get, but you will get a little bit of the flavour of the acting.
Tēnā kōrua, ko Bronco tōku ingoa. My guardian, o Papatu Wānuku, our OG mother. She puts up with a lot. Gotcha. Blinking disrespectful. In your Māori, your mountain is your ancestor.
They'd be so proud of me if I got to the top.
You can be my Sherpa. Carry all my things. Make it to the top first and get no credit.
Feel that?
What?
Power of my mountain.
She's gone to save her mountain, can save her life.
The closer I get, the stronger I get.
I reckon she needs us.
We're gonna get you to the top and you're gonna get better.
Stay sharp, otherwise I'm done for.
The movie's called The Mountain. Dan, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, and particularly with reference to this film. You know, I think one of the biggest changes in films over the decades is in the overall quality of child actors, the acting chops of child actors. And at the moment, it's just at such an incredibly high level. You almost never see a film that is kind of where someone sticks out, which is maybe not the case with movies of yesteryear. Do you reckon I'm onto something there?
I think that's a fair point. I think there are a few reasons perhaps for this. One is that young people, I think, start performing early, especially if they've got the bug. You know, they will go to Saturday morning drama classes. They'll become musical theatre buffs and what have you. And I mean, we were talking about Sydney Sweeney last week, weren't we, about how, you know, when she was a teenager, she knew exactly what she wanted to be, and she gave her parents the business plan that was going to make them all rich. And so I think there's a bit of that. I think that we have very, very, certainly in New Zealand, some outstanding casting directors who will put the work in to go and visit schools, will go to they'll do open casting. And so often, you know, if you imagine what a buzz it would have been to discover James Rolleston, for example, on Boy, and to have then seen that career become so powerful. And I think that so casting directors, they see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids, and they are very able to spot those little flashes of inspiration that are going to really pop on screen. So I think that those are probably, I think there's a lot more kids to choose from, and I think that casting directors are very smart about who they find.
The film's called The Mountain. It is in cinemas now. Let's talk about your paid streaming recommendation this week, which is on Netflix. I haven't actually seen, nor had I heard of this until you sent it through today, but it sounds really cool. Utopia.
Yeah, this is one of our favourite shows of all time. You'll know the company that produces it, I think. They're called Working Dog, and their very first production was the brilliant film The Castle back in 1990, I think. They also made the film The Dish. But over the last sort of 25 years or so, they've been making television comedy series, including one about the news media called Frontline. And Utopia is a political satire that is set in a fictional agency, federal agency called the Nation Building Authority, and its job is to make sure that Australia spends its infrastructure dollar wisely and in the right places. And as I thought that, I mean, apart from the fact that it's just a supremely funny show, the fact that infrastructure is such a hot topic here in New Zealand, where we seem to survive by not building any. In Australia, they build a lot, and politicians love to have their photos taken with a shovel, turning the first sod, as they say. And the Nation Building Authority, with the CEO played by Rob Sitch, they are long suffering at the hands of their political masters. We've got a clip from it's season five has just dropped on Netflix. It's been going for 10 years. The first season was 2014. Let's hear a little bit of a clip from the first episode of season five, where Rob Sitch, as the CEO, Tony Woodford, is talking to Jim Gibson, who is the minister's man in terms of the infrastructure minister. So let's hear a little bit of their conversation.
Okay, blink reaction. Nuclear energy.
No.
You didn't blink. This is something you haven't heard of. SMRs.
Small modular reactors.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
Better let the PM know.
Jim?
He thought it was smart meter reactors.
Can I ask you about the M28 freeway?
Yeah.
I was stuck there for an hour today.
The trick is to get off at the ring road and do a rat run.
Construction started 7 years ago and it's nowhere near finished.
It's a big job.
It's widening a road. It's not exactly a channel tunnel.
You want me to ask around?
Could you?
Yeah. And just so I know, who's onto it?
What do you mean who?
What do you mean who? Who's raised it?
We have.
Because of which media?
No media.
I'm lost.
I might be too. Is this small talk?
The media aren't onto it.
Then what's the problem?
Because a simple widening project's taken the best part of a decade, nobody's bothered to ask why.
But if no one's complaining?
I'm complaining. And I bet the other motorists stuck on the freeway with me aren't happy about it either.
But no media?
No. Jim?
Yeah. All right. Let me look into it.
Please.
Oh, you're off dairy.
Oh, no, we've got a new fridge.
We're just waiting for it to reach optimum operating temperature.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So it's small modular.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was trying to think, Dan, of sort of points of reference for something like this. The only thing that I could kind of come up with was The Thick of It or Veep, you know, those Armando Iannucci programs. Maybe the ABC does a few sort of sketch comedy shows. Like, what would you compare this to for people who aren't familiar?
I think that those are quite good touchstones, but really the working dog company who've been together for I think nearly 35 years, the same producers, writers. Rob Sitch, the lead actor, is one of the writers and also directs the show. They've been working together for so long, they know each other so well, and they've got the rhythms of this sort of fast-paced dialogue. And I think you can really only compare it to other working dog shows, and they're all worth a look. And lots of them are sitting there on Netflix, just a few layers below the top line. It's kind of a workplace sitcom, so a lot of the gags in it are at the expense of sort of easily recognizable workplace tropes, but it's got that extra level of political sharpness about it, and Australians love to rip the proverbial out of their politicians, because they are often sort of self-serving and venal.
Your free streaming pick this week, Dan, I'm thrilled by, because I didn't know that this existed, and I'm definitely going to watch this because it stars in his last film, the beautiful, beautiful man that is Harry Dean Stanton, and it looks like one of those real examples of a movie that was made for an actor, and an actor really elevating the movie above just an actor playing a role.
Oh, absolutely. Harry Dean Stanton passed away in 2017, the same year that this film came out. He was 90 and had been making films since the early 1950s. And one of the great character actors, probably best known for Paris, Texas, but, you know, just one of those people that whenever they turned up, you knew a film was going to get better. And this is a film about a 90-year-old man living in a desert town, coming to terms with his own mortality, which he's pretty much in complete denial about, and also the people who live with him in this little town, who put up with the fact that he's kind of grumpy and irascible, but love him anyway. It's streaming on the service called Broly, which we've talked about, I think, before on this segment, which is an Australian streaming service, which is, for the time being at least, completely free. So definitely one, if you know the cost of living crisis is biting and you're turning off some of your streaming services, go and look at Broly, because it's got a lot of great stuff there. I wrote an article for the RNZ website earlier on this week about it, so you can I think that we're going to add a link to the segment item for tonight's segment, so you can go and find it. And I watched three or four different things on Broly this week to prepare for that. But this film is just a delight. Let's hear a little bit of a clip from it, which features a cameo from the great director David Lynch. And David Lynch plays Harry. Sorry, carry on.
Go ahead, Dan. Finish your sentence. We're all good.
David Lynch plays Harry Dean Stanton's best friend, and he's currently very unhappy because his pet tortoise has escaped, and not everybody seems to think that this is quite as important as he does.
You don't give a shit about him. You're just here to suck him dry, you lamprey, leech, vulture. Calling him out of his last dime just to leave everything to a turtle?
Tortoise! He's a tortoise. You know that saguaro near your yard? That thing was barely a twig when Roosevelt was born. They're contemporaries, you know. They watched each other grow up. President Roosevelt was born in a hole in the desert. At that time, a little creature smaller than my thumb. And something clicked inside that little Roosevelt brain, and he scampered up out of that hole and faced the world. You all think of a tortoise as something slow, but I think about the burden he has to carry on his back. Yeah, it's for protection, but ultimately it's the coffin he's going to get buried in. And he has to drag that thing around his entire life? Go ahead and laugh. But he affected me. You know what I'm saying? He affected me. There are some things in this universe, ladies and gentlemen, that are bigger than all of us. And a tortoise is one of them.
That's so beautiful and serendipitous, Dan. We only have about 40 seconds left, but Harry Dean Stanton was also, of course, in David Lynch's TV series Twin Peaks, and I think one of his last roles was reprising Carl Rodd in the reboot in 2017. And again, he was just such a brilliant, beautiful actor. To call him a character actor feels like to do him a disservice, you know?
You're absolutely right. And this film is a great, great way to sign off. It's a beautiful, heartfelt, mystical and sweet-natured film, and I recommend it to absolutely everybody. You won't regret it.
Dan Sevan, thanks so much. Have a good long weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Dan Sevan. Dan writes for RNZ and does this every Friday, and he also has a Substack called Funerals and Snakes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.